In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Selling a little? Or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, sunshine. Welcome to another day of the Make Your Damn Bed podcast. Today, I'm still diving into Gabor Mate's book, Scattered Minds: The Origins and Healing of Attention Deficit Disorder. And today I'm skipping ahead a few chapters to talk about a section on diffusing counter will. And before we dig into what that means, I want to read the quote that he starts this section off with from Shunryu Suzuki Roshi from his work Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, where he said, "Even though you try to put people under some control, it is impossible. You cannot do it. The best way to control people is to encourage them to be mischievous. Then they will be in control in its wider sense. To give your sheep or cow a large, spacious meadow is the way to control him. So it is with people. First, let them do what they want and watch. This is the best policy. To ignore them is not good. That is the worst policy. The second worst is trying to control them. The best one is to watch them, just to watch them, without trying to control them." Now, the name of this section is Diffusing Counter Will. And though by context clues I could figure out what that is, I decided to look into it further to make sure I fully understood. And I wanted to share some of those findings with you before we dig into this. Counter will is a psychological term that means instinctive resistance to any sense of coercion. Counter will is that feeling you get when you feel like you're being pushed around, or that resistance to being asked to do something, even if it was something that you want to do. Now, this specific term, counter will, was coined by Austrian psychoanalyst Otto Rank in the early 1900s, and has been brought into common use by Canadian psychologist Gordon Newfield. The term literally means against the will of. But the key to this type of resistance is that it's instinctive, and it's not something that your child carefully considers and then decides to do. According to the naturalparentmagazine.com, it is important to understand that counter will serves an important developmental function. It triggers a child to refuse to cooperate with someone who they are not attached to. As Dr. Newfield puts it, children were designed to be impossible to manage unless sufficiently attached to those in charge of them. If we train children to comply with all adult instructions obediently and never push back, there is danger there. A lot of articles I read and briefed for this said that counter will is most often associated with the terrible twos, because developmentally, toddlers do first experience a strong wave of counter will around the ages 18 months to 3 years old. So it's natural, and we shouldn't really feel overly concerned about it as a developmental milestone, but that doesn't change it from feeling frustrating or making us feel stuck. As Gabor Mate puts it, parents unaware of how counterwill works may see oppositionality as originating in the child, or as a deliberate challenge to their authority or testing their limits. So this is where a power struggle ensues. And as someone who has been in an argument with a two-year-old before, there's no winning. When such conflicts are frequent, counterwill becomes established as the child's automatic response to any sort of parental expectation. So if this becomes chronic, it will complicate and negate many of his relationships with other people, as will the rebellious stance against all authority and all rules reported by many adults with ADHD, including myself. I have some resistance to being asked to do shit, and I'm constantly fighting it. That said, there are ways of counter-will-proofing our relationships. Gabor Mate adapted Gordon Newfield's phase, drawing the sting out of the counter-will dynamic. He does this by 1, keeping attachment first and foremost. The importance of the attachment relationship has been the underlying theme of this entire book, but counterwill is greatly increased when the child's attachment to their parent diminishes. So as our attachment bonds improve, we are less likely to oppose expectations and proximity with those that we actually enjoy and care for. 2, we shouldn't mistake acquiescence for voluntary good behavior. And I quote, "We can create the appearance of close attachment by threatening the child or treating them harshly, but what really happens is that the child clings to the parent for fear of rejection or punishment." So typically, this means they're not actually getting over that counterwill resistance, but they're instead setting it aside for a later date. Point is, compliance does not necessarily mean effective or wise parenting. In a lot of cases of divorce or separation, for example, the mother may complain that the child acts out with her but is well-behaved with the father. But as has been the case in many psychological studies, that might be because the father reacts more harshly and because the mother in this situation provided a safer place to express themselves fully, they are more likely to push back and show this counterwill or resistance to requests. But if you are the mother in that situation, it makes sense that you could think that child doesn't respect you as much or care about you as much, when in reality, that counterwill was probably being built up in the more repressed experience at the father's house in this situation, and was only able to be expressed in a safer place, like the mother's. Obviously, this is just an example, but it helped me understand why we often take out our frustrations and angry emotions and negativity on the people that we care about the most. This is something I am constantly catching myself in because I do feel safe around my partner and my best friends. And that sense of safety they give me makes me feel unrestrained in my reaction. But because I had some pent-up aggression and anger and frustration from experiences I was not safe to express myself in, I do sometimes bring that frustration and anger into these safer situations and put the responsibility and the impetus on the people who love me and care about me, which truly isn't fair to them. And it honestly isn't that effective as a catharsis for me, if I'm honest, because it often ends up with me feeling guilty that I was mean to the people who actually supported me. Gabor Mate puts it like this: "The children most at risk for problems later in life are those who feel so threatened that their counter will falls completely silent. Many a good little boy or good little girl grows up to be a depressed and troubled adult." So we shouldn't take resistance personally, and we shouldn't take our own counter will personally. The thing about it is that it is instinctual, which means taking it personally only adds to the frustration and the shame. So instead, we need to just make room for resistance in the relationship that is to be anticipated. And ideally, as we get older and more comfortable dealing with that instinctual resistance, we'll be able to predict for it and make accommodations that work. Whether that be a safe place with lots of boundaries to vent, or only choosing to engage in these type of disagreements with previously discussed boundaries in place. But what really fascinates me about all of this is that the key to it like most relationship frustrations, is open communication. When we can learn to effectively express our emotions and our feelings verbally through words, we separate ourselves from that impulse and we don't become victims to it. We can put that feeling outside of ourselves, label it, and address it from there. But if we don't take the time to address our feelings as they come, as they show up, and express them in words, then it becomes a lot harder to separate ourselves from them. We become one with the emotion, which is why we feel so attached to it, which is why we feel so defensive towards anyone trying to rectify it. The point is, hard emotions are normal. Resistance is normal. Feeling frustrated and being a jerk to people you love is actually normal and healthy as far as development goes, but it's not healthy to build relationships. So it's something that we need to learn to address without all the shame, because oftentimes that resistance is only exacerbated by the shame we feel about the resistance. Anyway, I love you so much. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow while you make your damn bed. Goodbye, beautiful.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.